Brothers, sisters, comrades and friends, welcome once again to Bat Country.
Am I in focus? Oh, if not, we'll just do a blurry.
Maybe the problem is I'm blurry in real life. I'm just a slightly out of focus man. Okay, so I'm going to address the premise of this video straight away so you know where I'm coming from. Does tapering off alcohol work? No. The end. Thanks for watching. Like and subscribe on your way out. What's the best strategy for coping with acute withdrawal symptoms? Well, that depends. It depends on how much you drank and for how long. All information about alcohol use has exceptions and conditions and clauses and subclauses like those. And there is just no one-size-fits-all solution. And that's really frustrating because the process of getting sober would really benefit from some nice, clear, structured guidelines. Do this to be sober. That would be nice, wouldn't it? But that kind of clear, structured guidelines, that clear information, it simply doesn't exist. Because everybody's experience of getting sober is completely unique. Me, for example, I'm a binge drinker, what some recovery experts would call a heavy episodic drinker. That means I will be completely sober for months, perhaps even years at a time. Not even thinking about drinking. Perfectly safe to be around people who are drinking. And then, for reasons I've never fully figured out, I'll relapse into severe, almost suicidal drinking. From nowhere at all. Cramming my poor, long-suffering body with as much hard liquor as I possibly can from morning to evening until my organs hurt. And it leaks out of my pores. And then I'll pass out, wake up and start again. And for me, in relapse, that cycle can go on for 2, sometimes 3 weeks, and then I'll be sober again. 4 weeks, months, or maybe years. From hardcore sobriety into abject, a hopeless, abysmal intoxication. From one extreme to another. There is no middle ground for people like me. It's either sober or we're in the hospital. So, as always, the information that I'm about to discuss with you is applicable really only to me. And I might not necessarily speak directly for your own experience. As I said, every person's sobriety journey is unique and independent to them. And to that point, as we go on, I would very much welcome some counter-opinions, some opposite arguments about positive experiences with this topic as we go. Because my opinion on this is a strong and controversial one. And I'd like to see some arguments to the contrary, for balance. The first time I had a relapse that hospitalized me, I was certain that I would never let it happen again. I was, like many of us, convinced I was better than that, that I had some control over it, that I was different, and I would simply not let myself go through that again. That was it, that one relapse, that was it, that was the end of it, it was not going to happen again, I was going to make sure of it, just through sheer force of will. Sounds so naive thinking back. And now that it has happened to me several times, I've had a number of relapses, in and out of hospital every time, my attitude has changed. I no longer have that arrogance, that certitude, that conviction that I can just stop this from happening because I want to. It's not like that in practice. And a lot of what we're going to talk about as we talk about tapering is going to cover that difference between the theory and the practice. That feeling of this will never happen again for me has evolved into this could happen tomorrow, in the next hour. The shop is just across the road from me. I am literally, I don't know, 20 meters away from a major relapse at all times. That is important knowledge. Far from being secure in my own sobriety, I have to acknowledge that I am always in danger. Always. No exceptions. at any moment, that dark passenger of mine might reach over and grab the wheel and steer me off over a cliff edge, perhaps, for the final time. It's a scary thought. And because it's happened several times to me now, my withdrawals have become extremely vicious, really, really brutal. Alcohol withdrawal, severe alcohol withdrawal, is the worst thing that I've ever experienced. And I feel like it's relevant to add at this point. A personal anecdote. I was once in prison in the middle of the desert in Kazakhstan, where I watched a cellmate stitch his own stab wound back together using his own shoelace. And then he put his hand in the bleach that they were using to clean the toilet and disinfected the wound with it. It's safe to say I am something of a connoisseur of bad experiences. Severe or acute alcohol withdrawal is the worst of all of them by far. Anybody who has been through it, I suspect, will agree. It is unfair, traumatizing. The fear, the sheer terror, the constant sense of impending death, like feeling like death is at the foot of the bed just waiting for you. It is life-changingly bad. It's too much to bear. And as a result of that, I'll do and try just about anything to reduce the unpleasantness of withdrawal. And it's led me to experiment with a few different approaches to the withdrawal process. One of them is the one I'm talking about today, tapering. So what is alcohol tapering? I'm going to be talking specifically about alcohol tapering. And that is the process by which you consume lower and lower volumes of alcohol over time until, in theory, you're drinking no alcohol at all anymore. Tapering is the process by which you either drink lower amounts or less alcoholic drinks over time until you've weaned yourself off it completely. Congratulations, you've made it. You're free. Go run through a meadow. Play with kittens. You've made it. You're out the other side. Well done. I've tried tapering now a few times, and the reason why people like me and others like me resort to tapering is almost always because of the fear of withdrawal. The dread of going through that process is what drives people to experiment with tapering down over time rather than a hard stop or a medical detox. That's the large motivating factor, is that dread of the withdrawal, especially for those of us who have already experienced it. The theory behind tapering off is like this, in abridgment. Over the course of your use of alcohol, your body will have undergone a number of neurobiochemical changes. Your central nervous system will have unwillingly adapted to the presence of high volumes of alcohol in your bloodstream. Your body isn't good at operating like that, hence drunkenness, but it is at least accustomed to it. It has adapted. Now, suddenly removing the alcohol after your body has become so acclimatized as to be dependent on the presence of alcohol, removing it quickly can be dangerous. In the same way that it's not the fall that kills you, but the sudden stop, abruptly quitting alcohol can be fatal. I've been close to it myself. I've seen it, felt it. If your pattern of alcohol intoxication is anything like mine, then quitting cold turkey is very dangerous. Tapering, in theory, is a way to slowly reduce your blood alcohol levels and get you off the drink without that difficult withdrawal process. So, that's the theory. Now, how often does that work in practice? My guess would be, with assistance, tapering works rarely. And without assistance, it works never. But I need to explain my position there. So let's meet it head on. Does alcohol tapering even work? The theory seems reasonable. Does it work in practice? Is it a viable strategy for quitting alcohol permanently?
Well,
I need to pause here and let you take a peek behind the curtain. When I first decided to talk about this topic, tapering, I was all geared up and ready to say flatly, no, tapering does not work. Not at all. No exceptions. Don't waste your time. You're just setting yourself up to fail in tapering. That is still my opinion, and I still think that is true. But it's not the whole truth. I've had to temper my conviction very slightly. I've checked in with a few sober people and a few specialists, and they make the argument that any endeavor a person with an alcohol use disorder undertakes to reduce the amount they are drinking is positive. Any effort towards reducing alcohol consumption is good. Therefore, tapering is indirectly a net positive. I've also read a few accounts from medical publications which talk about the tapering process as though it were just assumed to be effective. After all, most detox places, including the ones that I've been to, won't admit you if there is still alcohol present in your bloodstream. So there must be some level of tapering involved, even for people like me who tend to favour a medical detox. We'll come to why that is shortly. Those two points, that reduction is just always good, and that you have to be a certain level of sober in order just to go into a detox clinic, they're hard to argue with. But there is no definitive answer about whether tapering is a good and healthy strategy for quitting. And I hate that. I find that very frustrating. So I am going to offer a definitive statement today. And I'm going to adjust it to this slightly moderated, lawyer-approved statement. Are you ready? I have never met anyone who has successfully tapered off alcohol and gone on to maintain their sobriety permanently. It has never worked for me, and it never will. As a result of that, as a result of my first-hand experience, if you drink anything like the way I do, I don't think you should consider tapering as a viable strategy for you either. Now, that's my slightly moderated lawyer-approved statement. If you're in the comments right now saying that tapering did work for you, congratulations. I am genuinely, sincerely happy for you. But you are very rare. Why doesn't tapering work then, in my opinion? And this is just opinion at this point. I'd been sober for about 3 years when I moved to Germany, which is where I currently am. I had my first major relapse after about a year in Berlin. And it was bad enough to put me in a psych ward to detox. The hospital I was in was called Bodelsring. And it is a terrifying place. As well as a handful of people like me who were there to just detox, it's also where the cops dump people too unstable to go off to jail. People with severe and sometimes dangerous and violent psychiatric illnesses end up in Bodelsring. Schizophrenics, people experiencing severe psychotic breaks, as well as drug addicts who are coming down before they're sent off to jail. People who are coming off meth, but they're still horny from it, which led to me being grabbed sexually and more than once. Everybody in Bodelsring looks like a caged animal, including the doctors. There is constant screaming, and very often violent offenders are wheeled in, strapped down to gurneys, spitting and swearing. In German, I might add, just to make it slightly more terrifying. I remember one day in that ward, standing at my window, looking out as a big electrical storm began to roll in over the city. From where I watched, a deeply troubled young woman standing in the courtyard below, with her arms raised up to heaven, begging God to strike her with lightning. and I hated it there. Hated it. Lying in that awful, uncomfortable, too narrow hospital bed, shivering and sweating, feeling like I was losing my mind, having conversations with people who were never there, suspecting the staff of weird, sprawling conspiracies against me and my roommates. Delusional behaviour. No sleep. Feeling like the anxiety alone would be enough to kill me. Like death was, once again, at the foot of the bed. The whole time I was there. So when the next relapse happened, after I'd recovered from that one, another one would happen a few months later, and I decided that I did not want to go back to that place. And my girlfriend and I thought we would experiment with tapering for the first time. I decided I would do whatever it would take just to not have to go back to that hellhole. At that time, during the relapse, I was drinking something like a liter and a half of vodka per day, I think. That's 2/5 of vodka for my American friends. And over the course of 3 or 4 days, we wound that down into 750 milliliters, so one large bottle, then down to 375, and then after a few days, it was just nips throughout the day. But when you're coming down from that amount, your body is at emergency stations from the start. It is overwhelmed and it's panicking. Your central nervous system is panicking. I could feel my body desperately pulling levers and turning dials, trying to find equilibrium within itself. And the result for me was just a head-spinning whirlwind of withdrawal, but drawn out over days and weeks. It was just as bad as a medical detox, but longer. And while we might think of tapering off as the easy route, easier than facing acute withdrawal, my experience of it is the opposite. At least acute withdrawal is over in a week or two, the most severe symptoms at least. Tapering off only extends the issue, and I found it personally just as unpleasant, if not worse. Not to mention, and to be slightly personal and talk about some things that make me uncomfortable, I am not fun to be around when I'm tapering. Sleeplessness, hallucinations, complete incoherence. Worse than when I am actively drinking. The incoherence is bizarre. It takes a toll on me and everyone around me. And I assume that would apply to you too. I was throwing up. I was deeply delusional, completely incoherent. At times I was angry, and then at other times I'd be weirdly horny. I suspected my girlfriend of trying to frame me for various crimes, and the long and short of it was that tapering made me very literally suicidal in a way that the medical detox never did. I wanted to die. I wanted to. And I said so openly, and that is very against character for me, who tends to be quite a happy person. In tapering, your sole focus, the focus of all your attention and all your energy, is on that next drink. When is it time? How long do you have? You're looking only to that and not beyond it, counting the minutes, and nothing else matters. All it does is prolong your suffering and the suffering of everyone around you who is trying to help. Now, hospitals have things to deal with this period. Just go there. Even if you can't afford it, go there, because at least in a week from now, you'll be able to deal with the consequences sober. Now, look, I know I've just made a very worst case scenario there, and your experience of it may well be different. If, for example, perhaps you're just reducing the amount of beer that you're drinking every day, or glasses of wine, you want to cut back from, you know, 5 glasses down to 3 every day, something like that. But for hard liquor drinkers like me, that's not an option. Tapering is not an option for us. You see, there's a funny thing about this. When it comes to alcohol, the stopping is the easy bit, not the hard bit. This action, the process of actually putting alcohol into your body, it's nothing. Stopping that is the easy part. The physical addiction, the actual process of consuming the alcohol, that's not the problem. The problem for all of us, without exception, who have some kind of alcohol use disorder, is somewhere beneath the physical part. When you're tapering off, all you're doing is delaying the process of dealing with all of that underlying network of problems, which the alcohol has, until now, been concealing. Withdrawal is fucking horrible, and that's why it's better to get through it quickly. And I think you can only do that realistically and safely with medical supervision. After all, most of us are tapering to avoid the withdrawal. That is the point of tapering. At some point in our relapse, we'll have a moment where it's clear to us that we need to stop. But that fear of stopping, that dread of the incapacitating effects of severe alcohol withdrawal, will cause us to continue drinking. And that's true throughout the tapering period. You will always be tempted. As soon as you start feeling like shit, which you will. Because after that, after you've got sober, after you've quit, that's when the work actually starts. Quitting's the easy part, so do it quickly and with help. Because what comes next, staying quit, that is the hard part. Acknowledging the problem, dealing with your depression, your anxiety, taking account of the wreckage you've wrought, that's when you really have to accept the scale of the task of sobriety. And it feels good to meet that head on. Okay, let's wrap this up. I'm sorry for all the unsolicited opinions here, but I just wanted to put my thoughts about this topic on the record. I don't think tapering off is good for you, you personally. I am, however, serious about hearing from advocates of tapering in the comments. If you've had a positive experience with it, if you think I'm wrong and you think it can help people, please do let us know in the comments below. It's just that with issues of alcohol, there is so rarely any definitive information. But my experience, and therefore my opinion, is definitive. Don't try tapering. Just cut your losses and go for the shorter, sharper shock of a medical detox. At least that way, if you relapse again in future, your long-term outcomes are likely to be better. And there are statistics to back that up. It would have been easy for me to hedge my bets on this subject and do an SEO-friendly 5 tips for tapering off alcohol style video. But that's not how I truly feel. I feel like that would be disingenuous to take that approach. And I don't want to contribute to a narrative of false hope. Because I fear that offering tapering as a viable option over and above medically supervised detox is potentially dangerous. I don't believe it works. And I don't think we should be recommending it unless it's only to get sober enough to go to detox. That only takes a couple of days. That detox, the psych ward Bodelschwing that I mentioned, that is the dramatic option, for sure. But sometimes we need a dramatic end to the drinking. It helps keep us sober. As horrible a process as it is, having a dramatic end to the drinking has helped me to realise that I can never, ever have a single drink ever again. The moment it is in my hand, I am back in that terrifying hospital ward. No exceptions. And you too. It will never be different for us. And you have to accept that it is no longer a part of your life. The sooner you come to accept that, the easier things get. And a difficult but quick detox can help you close that door. Tapering leaves it just a tiny bit ajar. Tapering off alcohol is like an infinite tunnel in which the exit is permanently moving away from you. Tapering sounds reasonable in theory, but here in the real world, where drunk people can be expected to make drunk decisions, Tapering off gives people like me a false sense of optimism. Drunk people, well, they're not known for their discipline or for their good decision-making, and tapering off requires both. At some point, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to drink more than your schedule allowed for, or you're going to forget when you had the previous one. At some point, you're going to make a mistake, and then, in the blink of an eye, you are right back in the middle of a relapse with all of that work still ahead of you. Like, comment, and subscribe, and I'll see you next time.